they didn't have one of these out there because it would have rusted in the rain. But this is a shepherd's staff that we use for the ordination, but it plays a very critical role in what I'm going to be speaking to you about today. You know, we are on a journey in our life, and I am grateful to God that as a journey, sometimes you have to have a hat so that you can keep your head cool when you're going through things. Amen? You don't want to be dehydrated because your head is exposed to the sun so much that you get faint and you fall out. No, you want to be prepared for where God's taking you, because there's a place, according to the word, that God has taken all of us. This is a unique staff because on it you can see the sheep that are designed into it, and it represents that we are the sheep of the Lord. We are the sheep of his pasture. And that the red represents the apostolic, that we are led by someone who is sent, someone that was come into this world, bore our sins, and was sent into the world so that we might be saved, and that is the Lord. And I want you to go to an old familiar scripture, an old familiar verse, and we're going to read a little bit together as I tell you some things that are happening. I want you to turn to Psalms 23. Amen. Psalms 23. In Psalms 23, starting at verse 1, I want you to see this. A shepherd sees his sheep and knows them by name. A shepherd knows that he must maintain vigilance and know that his sheep are always taken care of. When we read Psalms 23, thank you. Oh, you look good. You might want to stay right there. All right. Psalms 23, how many have read this and heard this psalm before? How many memorized it as a child? It's one of the ones that most of us read and memorize. I want you to go to Psalms 23, verse 1 in the King James. And can we read it together, please? Go. In other words, the Lord is, everybody say, my shepherd. Okay, now we think about the Lord as the Lord of all the earth, but we rarely personalize it. We need to begin to realize he's not just God of Christianity, but he's my God. Everybody say, my God. He's my shepherd. Say, my shepherd. That means it's not, you don't have to run to somebody else to get him. You can call upon him yourself, and God will respond to you because he looks after you. He loves you. He cares for you. And when you suffer, he suffers. He knows you by name. He even knows the hairs of your head. For most of us. Watch this. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. What is that saying to you and I? It means that the Lord God himself is making us to lie down. His ultimate goal is not to destroy our life, take away from our joy, take away from the excitement of being alive, or convert us into numbness, or to make us Christians who don't know how to laugh anymore or have fun anymore. No, let me tell you something. God is hilarious. If you look at some people, you can tell. It's a bad joke. Everybody's different. Look at your neighbor. And do they look like you? Exactly? I hope not, especially if you're married. It'd be kind of creepy. Everybody's different in this building. God made you so different. His diversity is as diverse as all the sheep that a shepherd would have. But what he does is he wants all of us to be in green pastures. He wants to make your life so full. He doesn't want you to suffer. Here's what I learned about the word of God. He says this, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Let's say that again. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Why? He says, my yoke is and my burden is light. So whenever your life gets too heavy and your burden is too much, it's not God. That's a way you know that you're carrying too much on your own shoulders. What do you have to let go? Back to God. Sometimes we get so worried about what people will think, what they'll do, how they'll behave, that we forget to cast our cares upon the Lord. Why? For he cares for you. Some of you may be in here today that you are not used to casting your cares on anybody. You've been trained to bear that load all by yourself. You won't even tell friends. You are hurt until you bleed. You won't go to a doctor. You'll sit. You won't ask for directions. Your whole family gets lost. But it's because you're so used to holding on to everything yourself that inside you're internally breaking down from the stress. I want to ask you, what can you give up today and give over to the Lord? What is the thing that bothers you so much that has occupied your mind and time? What can you give over to God that you cannot control yourself? But if you let the shepherd have it, she can't see afar off. Only shepherds can. That's why a sheep will eat where it's at, and it will eat till there's nothing left. And while they're eating, the shepherd is continually looking for another place for you to eat. That's why Jesus said, take no thought on what you shall eat and drink. Take no thought about tomorrow. Don't worry as the Gentiles worry, or those who don't have a God, who don't have a shepherd, who don't have a Lord, who can't see afar off where the green pasture. Don't act like them. And get worried like, oh, the grass is gone. What am I going to do? I don't see any more grass. I guess I'll just lay down and die. No. Your shepherd is consistently looking out for your benefit. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He, even when things come against you, he's still there for you. I want to just talk about my daddy for a minute. See, he's just not my God. He's not just my Lord who I follow and obey. He's not just my Savior who took my sins away. But I call him Abba. That's a Greek word meaning my daddy. That means he's intimately involved in my life. When I don't want to do right, he wants me to end up right. Hello, somebody. He will put boundaries around me just so that I don't hurt myself. My God cares for me. When I'm sleeping, he's working out my tomorrows. Somebody say amen. Amen. Here's where it is very important for the ones in this room, because I need to share with you where we are as a church. The Bible says he restores my soul. He leads me beside the still waters, meaning they're not raging. They're not overflowing. They're not going to soak me so much. I get so saturated in the problem of what I thought was a good thing that it carries me away. Did you hear what I just said? All problems aren't bad problems. Some problems look beautiful. Some problems are handsome. Some problems look wealthy, taste good, make you feel good, but they're like water for sheep. You get in that too deep, guess what's going to happen? It's going to carry you away. And so your father, your daddy, always stops you by still waters so that you don't get carried away with too much good things. He'll make your life even and balanced that you can last the long haul. In our church, I don't know, I think it's important that I share with you some things. There's something that's said in verse 4. I want you to go to verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod is to fight off the enemy, to kind of poke at the enemy when he comes to take what belongs to him. The staff is something that the sheep can see, and he can pull a sheep that's in the wrong place back into the right place without hurting it. God is our rod and staff. You know, I want to share with you that we started building on this building 2016. And I have kept the situation from you because I did not want you to bear the load of what was happening. But it's important, and I've come to understand, that as a good shepherd, the sheep must know what's happening in the field. And so many of you may come to church, you go, man, we started this building a long time ago. How come it's not finished? It's 2,000 square feet of foyer. Surely it could have been done by now. We started in 2016. Is it that they're misdirecting their priorities? Is it that they don't have the money? Is it any of those things? And I need to share with you the truth of what's happening. Because I need your prayers. I need you to partner with me in the next phase of our life. When we started this project, God blessed us because our church has been so faithful in giving. And so when we went to the bank, we were approved in 2016 to be able to do what we wanted to do to this foyer. Here's our goal. We wanted to provide a place for you to go to the bathrooms on a Sunday instead of having to take your children and walk out in the rain to go to the back to go to the bathroom. Amen? Some of us don't like rain. Amen? I mean, you don't come to church to just get wet with that kind of water. You want that kind of water. Hello, somebody. And so because this church was an older church and we were blessed with it, we wanted to upgrade it and put bathrooms in the foyer. And not only that, a place for you to fellowship after service without having to go directly outside. And on top of that, we asked for bathrooms in there because we want to open it up during the week for those who may be homeless and can't take a shower and open it up for them to be able to take showers during the week. It's an amazing thing to me when you look that even dog parks have showers for their pets. But the city doesn't have a place for those who have no homes and their children cannot take showers. God forbid. And so we planned it out. We had the design done and we went with a builder. His name was Emmett Sapp Builders. And I need you to know that one of our values is that we are a transparent church. We don't hide anything from you. We want you to understand what we're facing. With Emmett Sapp Builders, we started in 2017. It took a year for them to get their plans and things together. By 2017, October, we were ready to roll. And I had shared for the first time, we're breaking ground. What ended up happening was 5 months later, nothing had yet happened with that company. The company began to work in February or March of the next year. And so, according to the contract we had with them, they had 180 days to complete their contract. Now, I want you to remember, we started last year in October the 10th, and we are past October the 10th this year. A year has gone by. What has happened is, we're working with Emmett Sapp. One of our banker that we were working with shared with him that when we got the loan to do this building and foyer for our community, that we got a little bit more above that, that we might be able to put chairs in the sanctuary. We might be able to have sound in our sanctuary, and we were able to buy lights so that we could then have service in this building that was left unused because they were using the other side when they donated it to us. And so we upgraded the building with paint and a parking lot we redid and many things we used that finances for so that we could have a place to worship. We upgraded the kids' room. We did the children's department. We painted, as you can see, all of these areas. We were able to also buy the building across the street so that we could use it for our youth. And however, the Emmett Sapp builders took it to heart and found out that they thought we had extra money because for them to use above our contract. And so the banker told them we had it, but didn't tell them what we used it for. So in his mind, he thought, I got extra money. And so not only did he charge us twice as much as a contractor would charge us, he then thought we had more money to give him. And when he came for it with things that he charged us after he did it without our knowledge, he then wanted to charge us over $40,000 to give him cash. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I don't play with God's stuff. I don't play with your stuff. When you give to the Lord, you don't give for us to waste it. You don't give for us to just throw it away. And so we began to say, this isn't right. You must follow your contract in order to get this building done. And the words that came back unto us was, how dare you want to follow your contract? Truth. I was called a liar. I was called all kinds of names. And our board of trustees were there to hear everything. And I still maintain godliness in the midst of it. Because the Lord is my shepherd. As I was preparing for this weekend, the Lord told me to share this information with you. Because if it were me, I'd wonder what's going on. And it's gotten to a point where we're getting letters from Emmett Sapp Builders saying that they're not going to work because we won't let them do extra work on outside of the contract. And because we won't sign off on that, for them to add things that we didn't ask for, they have stalled in finishing the project. In fact, it all began in June when we stood up and said, this isn't right. We have not asked for anything other than what is right for the church. And from June, they have stopped working, maybe send one or two people out. And as you've seen, the building slowly, one thing goes up, and then maybe another, and then nothing. And we have sat down with the builder to try to talk with him. We've tried to communicate, and the builder has made up his mind, this isn't going to happen. He said, Pastor H, you don't want to play with me. I would not lie to you. He said, you don't want to play with, you don't want to go there with me. Give me what I want. And so they, as you know, that side door here, they, to get our contract shared with us, hey, we're going to put a door in here for you. So as we build on the front, you can come in the door. It's on us because we want your business. And after they put the door in, they're charging us $5,000-$6,000 because they say we changed our mind because it costs us too much to put in. Now they're suing us or trying to sue us for the door they promised and acknowledge they promised to give us at no cost. Rocky, would you come up, please? Somebody yelling, Sue. Now, hold on. This is I want to show you something. We have some of the most spiritual trustees I have ever met. We have been in prayer. We have sought the Lord. And no matter what we have done, they have returned our kindness with evil. We are moving forward, but we have to let you know why. It's not because we haven't done our due diligence. It's not because we didn't have the money. It's because someone got greedy. And they thought that as a church, we should just roll over and take it. Well, I ain't the one. I'm not the one. There is justice and there is righteousness. And if we're going to stand for Christ in spiritual matters, then we must stand for Christ in the natural matters as well. Church, why do I think this is important? It is because the world will not stop being the world, but you must know that Christ in you is greater than he that is in the world. What I speak to you isn't a plea. I'm not asking for anything. I'm not asking you to give a dime. It's already there. We've got a plan to raise and pay off everything we need. That's not it. We will do our due diligence. We have gone, spoken, and we found out that there were conflict of interests between the bank, the builder, and other people in this process we didn't know about. And when it came out, we called them on it. And the process began to flow. But we are continually getting threats from Emmett Sapp builders. On top of that, if you remember, we wanted to look at that land behind us. We had contracted with a realtor to help us. We were told for how many months? About 4 to 6 months that the people we had written a contract to buy that land from, that they weren't ready to go and that they were out of town and would get back to us. They called our elders and said, we want to meet with you. And we didn't know why. When we finally contacted them, we found that the realtor was telling them that we were out of town and unable to be reached. Turns out, Emmett Sapp and the realtor are sister and brother. He doesn't know I know that. This is the first time I've said it out loud. But man, blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Let me share something with you. We're not a church because of our own means. We're a church because God brought us together. We're a church because the Savior of the universe thought about us before the foundation of the world and said, I'm going to raise me up a people unto my name. I'm going to give them my spirit, my power, and I'm going to change a city by what this church will do. And he called us a people, and he called us a frontier, meaning we will go places and hit boundaries that nobody else will do. We will go there because it's right before God. So the church isn't our building. It's the people in the building. And we will never be threatened by money or greed or riches. Nothing. So here's where we stand. I want to read a scripture to you. And Rocky has everything. Rocky is our lead trustee. Has everything I've said been the truth? Yes.
Absolutely.
Trustees, would you stand?
100%.
Has everything I've said been the truth? Is it the truth? Is it the truth? They changed our plans without telling us to put in cheaper metal. And we only caught it because the inspector came and found they put in cheaper metal without our permission so they could save money. This is a battle for the safety of our children. I don't want anything to happen to our kids, to our families. This is important. Now, I want to read something from Nehemiah. If you would turn to Nehemiah. Chapter 13. And I want to start with this understanding. Nehemiah had come back to build the temple. He wanted to raise it up unto God. It was in dishevelment. He wanted to renovate what God had created. And so he gathered the people together, asked them to give, to help finance it, and to work for it. And the people were working. When it got to close to the end of it, here's what happened. There was a man by the name of Elisha, and he was close to one of the people in the city who didn't like what they were seeing. We have gone to the city, and I can promise you this. The city, they're very discreet, but they say, we know Frontier. The good works that you do, what they see in your lives, they know. They talk about you. And they said the only reason they believe this is happening is because it's spiritual warfare. Amen. To stop your church from what it's called to do. Now, you know, city officials don't say that. But for them to say that, and they to understand that they have never seen these people behave this way, like this. It's never been like this before. They're baffled at why it's happening. Well, I want to read this to you. Nehemiah came back to Jerusalem and understood the evil of Eliashib did for Tobiah. Tobiah wasn't for the church. Tobiah wanted it to fail. But because he couldn't stop it, he started to use undue influence. And one of the people of the city was able to get an office in the temple of God. Imagine the great temple where the holiest of holies is, the temple where the sacrifices are done. He turned one of the rooms into an office for him in his business. When Nehemiah came back and saw it, we'll start at verse 7, and we'll read together. And Nehemiah says, and I came to, for Tobiah, and preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of God. And it grieved me sore. Therefore I cast forth all of the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. Then I commanded, and they cleansed the chamber. And thither brought I again the vessels of the house of God with the meat offering and the frankincense. Let me read. And I perceived that the portions even of the Levites had not been given them. The people who were serving in God couldn't get paid because the hand of the world was trying to take it from the church. The Levites couldn't even be paid. And I want you to understand, we had 180 days for it to be done. It's the smallest job ever. And yet they put up buildings, the whole public shopping center, places all around the city. Done. Within the time, they could have just had us done like this. And because it took so long, our note came due. Now we're having to pull from a place where we don't even get the benefit of the foyer because the enemy had come in and put his office in the house of the Lord. I want you to see what happened next. He said, then I contended I with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? I gathered them together and set them in their place. Then brought all of Judah, the tithe of the corn, you are Judah, and the tithe of the new wine and the oil unto the treasuries. And then after he made the treasurers over the treasuries, Shelemiah the priest, Zadok the scribe, and of the Levites, Pedadiah, and next to them was Hanan, the son of Zakur, and the son of Mattaniah, for they were counted faithful in their office and was distributed unto them unto their brethren. But I want you to notice the prayer of verse 14. Can we all read it together? Let's go. That is my prayer. We are going before God, and I need you to stand with me in prayer. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places, the rulers of the darkness of this world. Our weapons can't be fighting fire with fire, but we've got to fight fire with faith. We've got to stand for what's right. Do the right thing, but we must also pray for our enemies. Bless them that curse us. Do good to them that hate us. Love them that are evil. And then on top of that, turn them over to God, that God may be their God. God may do it. Maybe God will save them. Maybe God will change them. Maybe the greed will go away. We are God's people. We are called by his name, and we must walk like he would walk. This earth is not ours. Our power doesn't come from dirt. Our power comes from Jesus Christ. But we are good stewards over what he gives us. Church, I'll close with this idea. In Psalms 23, he ends the story about our sonship in him. He says this, 23 verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. The day I was consecrated as bishop, they anointed my head with oil. And my cup overflowed. In the presence. Ladies and gentlemen, I need you to know what's happening. It is a battle. And God says, this is just temporary. This ain't even our final building, y'all. He's already showed me the next building we're going to have and the group of people coming and the lost that will be saved. He's already shown me the multicultural church that God is raising up. He brought us here on purpose. So this isn't going to stop us. But what I want us to do is stand up in unity in prayer for this to stop. That God would be God and come by fire and separate the line between Frontier and everybody else that will come against God. I can't do it on my own. But if you would stand with me, God will prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Would you stand with me? We have gone and brought in our administrators, and they agree this isn't right. We brought in the banker, and they agree this isn't right. They said to us, you know what? We know you right, but that contractor will probably win because he knows all these people. But does he know God? Does he know him? We are in a place where either we believe what we believe or we don't. The Bible says, cast your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for us. What we're going to be mobilizing is prayer around this building. This ground was not made for us alone. It was made to minister to the homeless, to the hurting, to the sick. To be an open door of all people, regardless of where you come from, whether you hated God or whether you loved him, you are received here that you might know him. We won't stop, but we must pray. In Nehemiah's day, he told the people, put one hand on the sword and be vigilant in your work. One on the sword and the one working. The sword in our day is the word of God. We must hold on to that. But we must not stop moving forward. God will open up doors for us. But I believe in a transparent church that you don't let darkness thrive in darkness. But you bring darkness to the light. Now, let me say to you, for anyone here today that think, man, is he supposed to do that? Is that appropriate in church? I don't know of a better place to bring this before, because we are family. And in doing the right thing, it's not always easy. And you're not always going to be liked. And it may not always be politically correct. But neither was Jesus. But he was absolutely right. So, church, God forbid I don't bring it before you. I want you to know that in order to do the work, we must band together in prayer. Would you close your eyes and let us talk before God? Father, I've laid this out before you. We've loved on them. We've spoken to our bank and their attorney, who's best friends and close friends with the builder. And they're telling us, give up. They're telling us, take some more money out and pay him. But they don't have any say in the matter. They have no say in what we're building here. They have no part in what we are creating here. And yet, they tell us what we must do. We've gone to our own administrator that we've asked to help us, and he's bullied them. And God, we've gone to them, and they've dishonored us in your name. So, Lord, we come before you. Now, Lord, first thing I do is this. You said, bless them that curse you. You don't tell us what's going to happen when we do. You just said, do it. So I bless him, his family, his children. I bless his sleep. I bless his rising and his laying down. I ask God that you would bless his heart, that he may see you. You would bless his business partners who are silent, that they may speak up. I bless those men who may be afraid of the economy and to stand up against a man of such finance. I pray that you would give them a spiritual boldness. A love, forget that, Lord, a love for you that overrides all the other fears. I ask that you bless this man, and that as you did for Abraham when the Pharaoh took his wife, you spoke to him in a dream and said, "That is my servant. Don't touch his wife." Would you do the same and speak on our behalf so we can focus on ministry and not money? We can focus on blessing and not curses. Lord, would you speak to him like you did in the days of Abraham? Would you go before us? You said, do good to them that might hate you. And Lord, we have been kind. We opened up our cafe to their workers during the day, that they could be in a cool place and have free drinks and rest themselves. We have been good to them. God, you said, pray for them that despitefully use you. Lord, though we have given them all and been faithful to our word and to what the contract was, even though they took advantage of it, I pray, God, that you would convict their hearts. This isn't just about money. God, this is about souls. We have done all we know to do. And without your help, we can't do anything more. So we pray that you would soften their hearts, create boldness. And not only that, Lord, would you bring us support, help, people who know, people who understand, people who will stand for us, for what is right, that they won't milk the church. They won't try to take advantage of us. They won't be afraid to be a blessing to God's people. Would you send people to help us? We are at a Red Sea, but I am not afraid. We will cross on dry ground. We will cross on dry ground. Hear our prayer today, God. Our earnest prayer. Not with anger. Not with viciousness. But with compassion. God, we lean on you. And we cast our cares upon you. May this work be finished, that we can move on and open up our vertical building. God, we can move on and bless our city. God, we come before you. Even this past week, we have gone to 3 and 4 places and just blessed the workers. We went to the business across the street and told them God loves them. We went to the hospital with the nurses and gave them gifts to let them know Frontier cares. We've gone to nursing homes. All of these things, we ask that you just remember. Let us not be distracted by these things. But we ask the Holy Spirit to go before us. Pay off all of this stuff. Get this stuff done, Lord, out of our way, that we may move forward, that Emmetsat Builders would not be like they are today, but you would change them to be what they should be tomorrow. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God a great hand clap of praise. Church.